Amen. You can be seated. Morning, church. Man, it's a good verse right before that song. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. So I'm so grateful for that. Church, this morning we continue in our Be Strong series where we walk verse by verse through 2 Timothy. There's a consistent theme throughout this study, throughout this letter, and it's a call for all of us to be strong, to remain faithful, to persevere, and to finish well as Christ followers. We all go through seasons in life. Amen, church? May we all go through difficult seasons in life where we're challenged, where we're tired, or maybe even seasons of spiritual weakness. And so Paul writes this letter to Timothy, a pastor in Ephesus, and he encourages Timothy, but he also encourages all of us to continue to be strong, to stay at it, in our walk with Christ, to keep our eyes on Jesus, knowing that Jesus is where we get our strength. We looked at that reminder last week where Paul says, hey, Christian, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. If you missed last week, I'd encourage you to jump online and listen to that. But just a super quick summary, Paul tells us that we're to be strong and strengthened by the grace that's in Christ Jesus. And he tells us that as Christ followers, he gives us three different examples of what we're supposed to be like. He says, first, be like act like a good soldier. He says, compete like an athlete and then work hard like a farmer. And so if you missed that, we described all three of those in detail. It'd take me way too long to sum all that stuff up again, unless you guys want to hang out a little longer today. But we looked at all three of those last week, the soldier, the athlete, and the hardworking farmer. And Paul continues into the next section of scripture where he offers us three more images, three more illustrations to help us. So we have the soldier, the athlete, and the farmer, and then we're going to have three more today. But these three are going to focus on us as teachers, as those that teach. He's going to show us what a faithful teacher is, what they look like. And so turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to be looking at verses 14 through 26 this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. We'll dive into that here in just a second. But remember, Paul is writing this letter to Timothy as a pastor, but also to the church to hear it, but also to him and all of us as Christ followers. But as pastors have a gifting by God and a responsibility to teach within the church. And guys, I think we can all agree with this. To have a healthy church, there needs to be a healthy diet. Amen? Right? To have a healthy church, there needs to be healthy teaching. And so pastors teach and equip and pass on the truth of God's word and teach and preach and pass on the gospel to others. Guys, at Authentic Life Church, I have a responsibility to faithfully teach God's word, right? Our life group leaders, our youth leaders, our kid life workers, they too are to teach faithfully from God's word. But church, before anyone checks out this morning, you might say, man, I just get to snooze this morning because this isn't for me because you think you're not a teacher. Here's the reality. If you're a follower of Jesus, if you've been saved by Jesus, if you're going to spend eternity with Jesus, then you are a teacher. Maybe not an official role within the church, but according to Jesus, you and me, if we are saved, we are all teachers. God's people have always been called to teach, always been called to teach. We teach not only by what we say, but we also teach by how we live. But I want to look at three different passages. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, Moses had just given God's people the laws of God. He gave them the word of God, right? This is what you're supposed to do. This is what you're supposed to follow. This is how you're supposed to live. And in the midst of that, he also told them who God was and how you're to live for God and to love God. He tells him this in Deuteronomy 6, verse 7. He said, you, who's this? God's people. You shall teach them diligently to your children. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. Christians, God's people, are to teach. Then we think about Christian parents. I think it's important that we pause and look at that in the home. Ephesians chapter 6, Paul tells parents, he says, bring them up. Bring who up? Bring your children up, not to be a superstar athlete, not to be the smartest person in the world. Those things are great. But the instruction we get from the Word of God is bring your children up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. If you're a parent, that's your role. Amen, church? Right? So you're a teacher if you're a parent. But just to make sure all of us are covered. You're like, the first one was Old Testament, Pastor. I need to buy into that. Let's listen to Jesus. Matthew chapter 28. He tells all of us, if you're saved, he says, go and make disciples. Go out and tell other people about Jesus. Be my witnesses. Tell others about Jesus and what he did for them. And then if they get saved, here's what Jesus says in verse 20. He says, we're to teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. And so as Christ followers, we do have teachers within the church. We do have pastors that teach, but we all have the responsibility to teach. But not just to teach, but to teach sound doctrine. Sound means healthy. Healthy doctrine. To teach the truth of God's word. To teach the truth of the gospel, the good news of Jesus. We're to do that faithfully. And so when we look at this passage today, we're going to see what it is that we're to faithfully teach. What is it that we're to teach in the church, in our homes, in our lives? And then we're going to see three characteristics of a faithful teacher. So before we do that, would you guys stand with me to honor God and his word? You guys follow along on the screen or on your own Bibles. We've got Bibles in the back that are our free gift to you as well. But here's what God's word says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. Remember or remind them of these things and solemnly charge them in the presence of God not to wrangle about words, which is useless and leads to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. But avoid worldly and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness. And their talk will spread like gangrene or like cancer. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, men who have gone astray from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already taken place, and they upset the faith of some, talking about the resurrection of the saints, like us. Nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his. And everyone who names the name of the Lord is to abstain from wickedness. Now in a large house, there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and of earthenware, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself or herself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. Now flee from youthful lust and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Verse 23. But refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, knowing that they produce quarrels. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wrong. With gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth. And they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. Father, we gather today and we're ready to hear from you. God, I pray, Lord, that what comes out of my mouth is from you, glorifying to you. That's sound teaching. God, we always say at our church, by the grace of God, we'll be faithful to the word of God. And so, God, I pray, Lord, today that we would do that. Help us be faithful hearers today, too, and appliers. So, God, we give this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Big passage with a lot of words and a lot of funny names. Amen. Paul in verse 14 begins by giving us a summary that tells us what a teacher does. When we're thinking about in the context of a church, my wife is a teacher. She's a fourth grade teacher. We're not talking about that today, right? We're talking about teaching in the church and teaching as Christians. And he says, remind them of these things. And solemnly charge them in the presence of God not to wrangle about words which is useless and leads to the ruin of the hearers. Paul is saying part of being a good and faithful teacher is that you remind people of the essentials. What is essential for us as Christians? Paul says it is these things. We've seen this before back in chapter 2, the beginning of chapter 2, Paul says, these things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Here's what Paul is talking about. The essential things, these things that we are to teach, is God's true word and the gospel. God's true word in the gospel. It's what we read here in the Bible. It's the truth about who God is. It's about what he said and what he's told us. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the good news, right? The best news ever. Here's the good news, church. Hopefully we will never get tired of sharing the good news of Jesus. Even if we've already heard it, we need to hear it again. That Jesus came and he lived a perfect life. He lived the life that we could not live, sinless. And then he died a criminal's death on the cross in our place. He bled and was broken and he died to save us from our sins and to bring us back into a relationship with God that our sins separated us from. It's about Jesus rising again, conquering death and sin. And he rose again as our Lord and Savior. The true word of God and the gospel are essential. This is important, church. These things are essential at Authentic Life. Our aim is to faithfully preach and teach and trust in and rely on and live out the word of God. Our aim also is to each and every week talk about the gospel of Jesus. Why? Because they're essential. Without the gospel, church, you have nothing. Amen? Without the gospel, we have nothing. Without the word of God, we don't know who God is and how much he loves us. Are you with me, church? Right? They're essential. And so we have to keep on reminding. We have to keep on teaching and focus on the essentials. And I'm going to tell you, church, man, we're dedicated to do that at Authentic Life Church. And so Paul says, remind them of these things. Remind them of the gospel of Jesus. Remind them of the truth of God's word. Remind them, teach them about these things, not our things. That's your first note this morning. Faithful teachers teach these things, not our things. What are these things? It's God's true word and the gospel. Church, this is super important. Please don't miss this. Paul is saying that when we teach in the church as Christians, we are not to teach whatever we want. We're not to teach our opinion. We can study the word of God and we can say, hey, I think this is what this means. We're not to teach our agenda. But unfortunately, church, we see people all around us, all over the world, people, teachers, pastors in churches teaching their things instead of God's things. And so a faithful teacher teaches the true word of God, teaches the gospel and not our things. I think we got to be careful about that, church. There are pastors, teachers, people online. I mean, that just they teach what they think people want to hear. We're going to talk more about that in chapter 3 and chapter 4 as we get into that. But the word of God is the bread that we eat, church. Right? I mean, we need to hear the word of God. Y'all don't need to hear my opinion about something that doesn't matter. What does God's word say about anything, right? What does God's word say about our lives? What does God's word say about what's going on in the world around us? What does God's word say about politics? What does God's word say about marriage? What does God's word say about sex and gender? What does God's word say about how we're to love one another? Amen, church? Man, you don't need my opinion. We need to know what God's word says. And so good and faithful teachers, they remind us of these things. Church, that's one reason why we as a church, we walk through books of the Bible. We walk verse by verse through books of the Bible. Why? So that we hear from God. We hear the gospel and we don't miss anything that God has for us. And church, there are hard things to talk about in the Bible. Amen? But when we walk verse by verse, we don't miss any of those things. So these things, the gospel is worth being reminded of. It's worth hearing every single week from the pulpit, church. It's worth it to continually remind others of God's word and the gospel and to keep the truth of God's word central. And then he says in verse 14, solemnly charge them in the presence of God not to wrangle about words, which is useless and leads to the ruin of their hearers. Church, don't get distracted. Don't get distracted by myths and conspiracies and things that are not central. There are too many churches that get divided and broken up about things that just don't matter. Come on. Are you with me, church? Man, that's where we let the devil get in. Are you with me? Man, there are essentials, there's non-essentials, right? There are things that we study the Word of God and we may disagree on, but we agree on the essentials. We can't get distracted. Sometimes we as Christians can get all upset and bent out of shape because we're way too focused on things that aren't central. And they may be things that are worth talking about. I'll tell you what, it may bore you, but I could sit down and talk theology and all this other kind of stuff all day long and I would never get bored. But y'all would probably be like, man, I just want to rip my hair up. You know, with me, church, man, there are things we're talking about. There are hard things in Scripture that said, hey, you believe this, but I believe this. Let's talk about that. And we should do that graciously and lovingly, but not in a way that causes disunity. Don't get bogged down by them. I remember the first church that I went to pastor at, we were doing a revitalization. If you're looking to pastor, unless God makes it super clear that that's what you're doing, man, run from that, man. Like going into a church that's divided, right? And you know what this church was divided over? And I love this church. Love this church. But they were divided over styles of music, and they were divided over lights, and they were divided over curtains. All while the world around them wasn't hearing the gospel. Are you with me? Paul says, let's keep the main thing the main thing. Paul, I believe, is also talking about false teaching. People coming into the church and teaching nonsense, teaching things that weren't biblical. And you know what was happening? They were being allowed too loud of a voice within the church. People were entertaining those conversations. So it wasn't just kind of non-essential conversations that was causing issues. There's false teaching coming in. And these false teachers were being allowed a voice within the church. And we're going to see that later, that men were coming in and teaching falsely about the resurrection of believers and that we weren't actually going to be taken up with Christ, right? But pastors and others within the church have a responsibility to guard against those teachings, those false teachings. But it's like Paul is telling Timothy, tell your people, don't even argue with those guys. No good comes out of it. It leads to the ruin of the hearers. It can lead the hearers of those arguments down the wrong path. If we have people who don't know Jesus, it can cause them eternal ruin. Church, we don't give false teachers a voice, church, because it can lead others astray. We don't even argue with them. Are you with me, guys? I'm not talking about having conversations about difficult things. I'm talking about people that come in here and teach a false gospel and teach a false truth about Scripture. Pastors, again, have the spiritual responsibility to keep false teachers out and to protect the hearers. But church, let's not even give the false teacher an ear. Are you with me? And so again, Paul is saying, keep the main thing, keep teaching, keep reminding, keep talking about the Word of God, keep the gospel of Jesus center. That's what a faithful teacher does. They keep God's Word and the gospel center. And then Paul goes on to describe. Are we good? You guys with me so far? That's what we teach, right? We're going to teach from the Word of God. We're going to teach about the gospel. And then he goes on to describe who is a faithful teacher. What do they look like? What do they do? They faithfully teach the Word of God and the gospel. And here's their characteristics. We'll look at verse 15 for the first one. He says this. He says, be diligent, talking to teachers, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. When we look at a teacher, Paul says the first characteristic of a faithful teacher of God's word and the gospel is this. They are a good workman. They're a good workman. A workman, the word here used by Paul speaks of a laborer, a worker, right? A hard worker. And so Paul says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman. We're to be good workmen. We're to be good laborers, church. When it comes to faithfully teaching God's word, we're to be hard workers. Last week, we looked at Paul talking about us following Christ as a hardworking farmer, right? I mean, following Christ, man, it can be hard work at times, right? But now he's talking about being a hardworking, faithful teacher of God's word. And so this means this, that when we teach the Bible, we should strive and work hard to be prepared to present God's word accurately. In other words, a faithful teacher of God's word puts in the hard work. Paul says, be diligent. as a workman. This means to make every effort, to work earnestly, to work hard. And so whatever context you or I are teaching in, we should work hard. Church, I'm going to tell you, man, like sometimes I'm spending 16 hours a week preparing for a sermon. Are you with me, church? Man, we need to work hard to study God's word. And so whether you're preaching or teaching in a group setting or you're teaching to children, I'm going to even say this, even in your own personal study where you're teaching yourself, sometimes we just skim over and we just glance at it. Oh, I got enough. I can teach off of this. Paul's saying, man, as a teacher, you should dive in. You should do the hard work to learn and grow. Church, when you teach, do the hard work, study God's word, be prayerful, have quality time in the Bible, ask God the hard questions, study well, be prepared so that whoever God has you influencing or teaching, they have a well-prepared, hard-working teacher. And by the way, let me be super clear. One thing that's going on in our culture right now is parents stepping up, and I think they should, stepping up and saying, man, we should have a say in what's taught to our kids. Are you with me? But yet, a lot of those are Christians who aren't putting in the hard work to faithfully teach their own kids scripture. Are you with me all? That kind of hurt a little bit, didn't it? Like, oh, it stung. It doesn't matter who your audience is. Our children deserve a good teacher. If your audience is 2, 50, 500, 5,000 people, be diligent in your study, in your prayer, and in your preparation. Paul continues to describe what's a good workman. We see that a good and hardworking teacher is God-centered. Is God-centered. Notice what he says. He said, present yourself approved to who? Approved to? All right. It's up there, right? No? Okay, it's God. I'm going to help you out, okay? So when I go like this, you say God, okay? Present yourselves approved to? There you go. As a workman who does not need to be ashamed. Present yourself approved and unashamed. That's the idea, right? The word approved means to be pleasing and acceptable. Notice it doesn't say present yourself approved to people. Approved to God, pleasing and acceptable to God. And so when we think about our teaching and also our preparing and our teaching, it's to be approved by God. We work hard because we want our study and our preparation to be pleasing to God. We teach to help others grow and to know God's word and to follow God's word, to be pleasing to God. Our aim is not to be me-centered when we teach. It's not to be you-centered. It's to be God-centered. He's the one we aim to please with how we prepare and how we teach. He's the one. Our aim, church, is that our studying and preparation and even our teaching is God-centered and God-pleasing. When it comes to teaching the word of God and the gospel, study well, work hard so that our preparation and our teaching is God-centered, God-pleasing. And Paul also says a workman is one who does not need to be ashamed. Simply meaning this, when you look at the work, at the prayer, at the study, at your teaching, when God sees our study and our teaching, when we put the work in, when we work diligently and keep it God-centered, there's no reason for us to be ashamed. And then one more under the good workman. Paul says, hardworking and faithful teachers will accurately handle the word of truth. Paul is saying a faithful teacher will work hard so that they are carefully and clearly teaching truth. The phrase accurately handling, part of that Greek word begins with the word ortho. Right? We're starting to have conversations in our family about orthodontists, right? That's fun and expensive, right? But what do orthodontists do? They make your teeth. Good job, man. You get a star, right? Come on, y'all. In line, right? Keep them straight. They have them right. The phrase accurately handling is important here. The phrase means to cut straight. It means to hold a straight course and to do it right, to do it in line with teaching. You know what it means? It means that we teach the truth in line directly and correctly. In Paul's culture, they would use this phrase to accurately handle something to describe the work of a stonemason. Cutting stone straight. Why? So that it fit the building correctly. It also described a surgeon in their day. Why? Because it was a surgeon who was making an incision. And they needed to do it right. They needed to do it straight. They needed to be accurate. And so our teaching is not to be our opinion. It's not to be from an unbiblical or worldly source when we teach. Hear me, church. Our teaching is to be in line with, it's to rightly align with Scripture and with God. Church, are you tracking with me today? Man, sometimes we throw in a lot of other voices. Yeah, but this person says this, or this book says this. What does God's word say? Are you teaching faithfully in line with God's word? The only way to do that is for you to put in the hard work. Study Scripture in its proper context. Don't make Scripture say what we want it to say. There's too many teachers out there doing that. They pull a passage out of context and they make it say something it's not saying. Are you with me, church? Man, we got to be careful about that. We're to put the hard work in so we know what God is trying to teach us. I love these three questions. These are three simple, really easy questions. When you read a passage, to really study in its context, one question is, what does this passage teach us about God? What does this passage teach us about who God is, right? What is this passage, counting is hard, Tim, right? What does this passage teach us about God? What does this passage teach us about us? And three, what does God want me to do with it? How do we respond? Just something real simple, just to walk through. Verse 16, he adds, but avoid worldly and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness. Paul is reemphasizing that we're to avoid false teaching and worldly teaching and avoid things that lead us to ungodliness. Verse 17, and their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, men who have gone astray from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already taken place and they have upset someone of the faith, or the faith of some. Nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands, having the seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who names the name of the Lord is to abstain from wickedness. Church, this is a big deal. He names two people in Scripture. Kind of usually think, man, it's an honor to have my name in Scripture, right? Right, not here. He names people. This is letting you know how serious this is. He names people who are trying to spread false teaching. They're trying to teach their own opinion. They're trying to teach things that were ungodly and unbiblical. Paul even mentioned the false teaching that they were saying. It said they were denying the resurrection of the believer to be with Christ. They were saying, man, it's already happened. Like, you, this is it. This is it for you. This is the resurrection. We're not going to go be with Christ, which is obviously unbiblical. We know that we're going to be with the Lord forever, church. Are you with me, man? But Paul uses the truth found in God's word and to remind them. And he says, the truth stands. You are his. You will be with him. And remember to stay away from wickedness. And so avoid these teachers. Don't give them a voice in the church. Avoid worldly chatter. Work hard in your study so that you can carefully and clearly teach God's truth. So a faithful teacher teaches God's word and the gospel. They work hard. They're God-centered. They're truthful. And then verse 20, he writes this. Now in a large house, talking about the church, there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and of earthenware, and some to honor and some to dishonor. It's kind of an interesting thing here. Paul starts talking about vessels. A faithful teacher is like a clean vessel. This isn't something, we don't use the word vessel a whole lot. This is an illustration that they would have been very familiar with. A vessel would be something in their home, things like tools and utensils and dishes and furniture. So I think we can relate to that now that we know what it is, right? We often have some really nice stuff in our home, right? We have these nice plates and glasses and silverware that we use when certain guests come over. But you also have the plastic beat up plates and cups that we use for the kiddos, right? Because we don't care if they get broken, right? Honorable and dishonorable. We also have honorable appliances, right? You think about things that are out and presentable. You think about your stove. You want to have it cleaned and ready for use, but you also have the toilet, right? Both things that, come on, y'all. Like, honorable and dishonorable. I'll let y'all pick which one's the dishonorable one. I had a friend growing up, my buddy named Oscar, and I would go over to his house, and you walk into the living room, and there was furniture in there that his mom had purchased. And this furniture, man, it was really, I'm just going to be honest with you. I hope they're not listening, but it was really ugly. But it was like old school, old fashioned felt stuff, you know, like little buttons and stuff all over it. Like it was antique furniture. If y'all have that furniture, I'm really sorry. But it had this like this really thick plastic protection on it. And you know what? She said no one is allowed to sit on it. It was this old fancy antique couches and chairs. And so I asked her, I said, Miss Williams, I said, why do you have these? She said, well, they're pretty. And she also said, they're for our honorable guests. Okay, right? So I got stuck down in the basement, church. Let's just, you know, like me and my friends were not honorable guests because we went downstairs with the old beat up furniture with Mountain Dew stains all over it. Are you with me, church? Man, that's just, so when Paul is saying is this, as a teacher in the large house, meaning the church, as a teacher, you want to be honorable and not dishonorable. Bless you. And so Paul tells us how to be this honorable and clean vessel. Because we want to be used by God. As we teach his word, look at verse 21. He says, there are vessels, some to honor, some to dishonor. And then therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things. So if here's what he's saying. If anyone cleanses themselves from being dishonorable, he or she will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, which just means set apart for God, useful to the master. Useful to the Lord, you to be used by him, prepared for every good work. Now flee from youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. And so Paul is saying to be a clean vessel, to be useful to the master, to be used in an honorable way as a faithful teacher. We're to take the dishonorable things and set them aside. We're to take them to the Lord. Repent of those things, church. We all have them. Right? There are days, I mean, there are moments every single day where we become dishonorable vessels. Let's just own it. Right? Where we are doing things that do not honor God. And the master, the Lord, when we get rid of those things, when we become honorable, we cleanse ourselves, we ask God for forgiveness. The master, Jesus, will use us. He will grow us and he'll lead us to teach. But he says in verse 22, how do we do that? We're to flee from youthful lusts. Meaning flee from immature lusts, immature things. Flee from things like fighting and being unkind and being prideful and different sins that we pursue. In other words, grow up in the faith, church. Leave the sinful desires behind, but pursue, chase after, run toward righteousness. You know what this means? How do we become clean? We pursue what is right in God's eyes. Don't overcomplicate it. Get rid of the junk. Pursue Jesus. Pursue Jesus. Pursue what God's word says. Pursue faith and love and peace. Pursue a life that looks like Jesus. Pursue what is right and good and loving, not in your eyes, but in the eyes of God. And do that with others who are following the Lord from a pure heart. And so as a faithful teacher, we're to be like a clean and honorable vessel, church, in your notes, pursuing a pure life and pure teaching. As a teacher, you're to pursue pure and good teaching, teaching that is truthful and in line with God's word. But please hear me. Your life matters too. There are a lot of people that jump on Facebook and say a lot of godly things and then post other things that are not godly at all. Or they say certain godly things at church or around the certain people, and then they go and don't. Are you with me, guys, man? We need to live a pure life. God's word is saying it's not just what you say that matters. It matters who you are. We're to chase after a pure life. I love what 1 Timothy 4:16 says. It says it this way, that we're to pay close attention to your life and your teaching. Both matter. Who you are, what you do, what you say. Church, too often we seek after teachers or pastors or speakers or influencers who speak well, look sharp, say the right things, look the right way. They just bring you in with their personality and their style and ability when those teachers are doing nothing to pursue a pure life. We see this far too often, people pursuing those teachers. And church, there's really nothing wrong with that. If you have someone that looks sharp, that says the right things, that their personality brings it, there's nothing wrong with that unless their life isn't pursuing Jesus. Are you with me? Right? Is your life lining up with what you're teaching? Who a teacher is matters. Character matters. Parents, you know, we know this, right? We know this. Like you say something and then your kids say, but mommy, you did this, or daddy, you did this. And then we try to get away with it by saying, do as I say, not as I do, which is a failed way to parent. Are you with me, church? Come on, man. Some of y'all said it this week and you're like, man, you just call me a failure. Are you with me, guys? Like, we shouldn't do that. We shouldn't say, do as I say, not as I do. That was free. I don't even know where I'm at anymore. I haven't done that in a while, by the way, church. Who we are matters. Church, when we look for leaders and teachers at Authentic Life Church, let me tell you the very first thing that we look at is their godly character. That's first. Even before their ability. Who are they? Are they following and living for the Lord? Are they paying close attention to their life? So a faithful teacher is like a clean and honorable vessel who pursues a pure life and pure teaching. Don't miss this statement. As a Christ follower, as a faithful teacher, let's be like an honorable vessel. Let's be useful to the master. So a faithful teacher is a good worker, a clean vessel. And the last comes from verse 23. Here's what Paul says, but refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, knowing that they produce quarrels. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged. When we look at the Lord's bondservant, the word bondservant is the Greek word doulos. You guys talked about that this morning in your life group, Tim. It's the word that means slave or servant. When we see that word used over and over in Scripture by those who are, it's used talking about those that are fully committed to following Christ. Or they may not say, I'm a bondservant of Jesus. You know what that means? It means they're devoted to the Lord. They're under His will and direction of the Lord and Savior. And so as a faithful teacher, Paul says that we're to be a servant to the Lord. As I teach this morning, as your life group leaders teach and kids' life leaders are teaching and youth leaders teach, it's not to serve you. It's not even to serve. I mean, it is to serve the kids, but ultimately it's to be a servant of the Lord. Be a servant of the Lord. Here's what Paul's reminding us in this section. He talks about quarreling and being kind and patient. He's saying that the Lord's servant is not out to win arguments, but to win souls for the Lord. We don't work hard and study and teach faithfully just to win arguments and cause problems and cause division. We teach and we preach. We work hard. We're God-centered. We teach the truth and the gospel to see people come to know Jesus and live their lives following Jesus. That's what it's about. It's not about my agenda or your agenda. It's about I'm a servant of the Lord. And so as we teach in the church, in our homes, wherever God has you, we teach faithfully as servants of the Lord. And Paul describes that a bit for us. He says in verse 24, the Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach. To be a servant, we're to be able to teach others God's word. Let me tell you this in the context of a pastor. When you look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, one of the qualifications, you have a lot of character qualifications, right, guys? A lot of, do you live this way? Are you pursuing God? Are you a faithful husband, right, to be a pastor? But there's one qualification in there that said you need to be able to teach. So as a pastor, you need to be able to teach. But all of us as Christ followers, Jesus says, teach, right? Teach others all that I have commanded. And so as a servant of God, we're to be able to teach other God's word. So let me encourage you. There are some here in our church who are gifted to teach in the church, but each and every one of us are called to teach. Remember the words of Jesus. Jesus says, teach them all that I have commanded you. And remember the words from Deuteronomy 6, that all of God's people are to teach and talk about God and His word. I want to say this, man, if you're struggling in this area, Maybe you're struggling in teaching. Maybe you're struggling in studying. Maybe you're struggling in how to pour into your kids. Maybe you don't know how to read God's word and study it, right? Or how to talk to someone. Man, we would love to help you with that. According to Ephesians chapter 4, part of my responsibility and other leaders in the church is to equip. Because you guys are going to be teaching people that I and other leaders won't ever have an opportunity to be with. Are you with me, church? Right? I mean, so if you need help with that, man, take that big step and say, man, I need help. I need someone to teach me so that I can go and teach. I need to learn study tools so that I can study God's word appropriately. I want to be a good servant of the Lord. And to do so, we're to work on our teaching. I think that's something that we need to work on our study and work on our teaching. And then after able to teach, the Lord's servant is patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. A faithful teacher and servant of the Lord is kind and gentle. Kind and gentle. As you are in God's word, as you're teaching and sharing his gospel, like Jesus, be kind, be patient, even when correcting someone. Because sometimes we need to have those moments where we have those hard conversations, right? I'm just going to pick on you. This is not true. Justin, man, you struggled this week, man. We need to talk about that, right? No, seriously, we'll talk later. But no, I'm just kidding, church, just kidding. Are you with me? Sometimes we need to have those conversations, but they're to be done kind and gently. Pray that God would use you to lead that person to Jesus. Pray that the Lord would use you and that those who you are teaching would be saved and no longer captive to sin and the evil one. I was able to have a conversation with someone that grew up in a completely, I'm just going to say, a lot of it is false teaching. Just able to have a conversation and open God's word and say, this is why we believe what we believe. This is what God's word says. I'm just praying that God would use that to correct their understanding and to bring them to the Lord. Here it is, church, at Authentic Life, in our lives, we're to faithfully preach and teach the truth of God's word and constantly teach and remind others the gospel of Jesus. Here's the thing, y'all. Like, we have a lot of freedoms that other countries don't have. And so it might be easy right now to say, okay, I'm going to stand firm and teach God's word. But what if that changes? Are you with me? Right? I mean, we got to stand and teach faithfully God's word, even whenever leaders may say, man, you can't do that anymore. I remember in Acts chapter 4, leaders are saying, man, you can't preach the gospel anymore. And they say, sorry, Jack, got to continue to do it because I follow Jesus first. It's somewhere in that translation, right? We're to teach the word of God. We're to teach the gospel. When it comes to being faithful, we're to study and work hard. We're to pursue a pure life and pure teaching. We're to be used as servants of the Lord. Let's pray.